Morning, church. Hope everybody is doing well. The leadership team and I, along with Garrett, we all met and we decided what we're going to do, at least for this Sunday and hopefully maybe in the next couple of Sundays, is we're going to put out some messages for you to go through on a Sunday morning as you gather together in your home and are continuing to practice social distancing. So what we're going to do is we're going to put out some short messages for you to listen to. Talk about as a family, maybe talk about them in your community groups as you meet virtually. And what we're going to do is we're not going to go through Revelation at this time. We're going to wait until we're all together to do that. And so we're going to go through the letter of Paul to the Philippians. And we're not going to go through all of it. I don't know how long this time is going to last. What we're going to do is we're going to pick some passages along the way. And I say we, I mean myself, Garrett and Phil are going to be sharing different messages to you. We hope that they encourage you. We hope that they, in some ways, just help you connect with the Lord and His Word during this time and bring you some peace, some encouragement, as well as some direction for what we're called to do. And so this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And so, if you can, please open up your Bibles and read along with me. God's word says the following: I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, this morning as we gather together, Lord, listening to your word. Lord, I ask that you would encourage us with your word, God, that you would remind us as a church that we are not alone, yet, Lord, you have called us together through faith in Jesus to be partners in the gospel, and that's exactly what we are. Lord, we might not be able to meet today, but Lord, we are still partners in the gospel because, Lord, you sent your son Jesus to die for us, and he has united us together through faith. And so may we feel that partnership today and may we respond appropriately in Jesus' name. And so I've just a question for you this morning. What do Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, Batman and Robin, peanut butter and jelly, and Sarah, my wife, and I all have in common? What we have in common is that we are better together than we are alone. And now, obviously, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick just broke up, and we're going to find out if that's true. But from my perspective, them having spent 20 years together, having gone to 9 Super Bowls, having won 6 of them, it's going to be hard for them to beat that. And so I would say they're better together than they are apart. Batman and Robin are better together than they are apart. Peanut butter and jelly are better together than they are apart, because together they make up probably the most famous sandwich known to most kids and even most adults, including myself. Sarah and I have been married for 20 years, and I can honestly say today that we are better together than we are apart. Another question for you. So what do we all have in common? My answer to that, from God's word, I think, is that we are better together than we are apart. We're better together because Christ has joined us together to live out our faith as partners in the gospel. And so we have been called to live out our lives together. If you're married, just stop and think for a moment how God has changed your life for the better by giving you a spouse. If you're single, think about your close relationships with other people, your friendships with them. Think about how you're better together than you are apart, how you're more productive, how you've learned things from your friends that you probably would never have learned if all you ever did was live your life alone. Most of the time, we are better together than we are alone. Scripture teaches us that two is typically better than one. This comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, which says the following. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So what God's word teaches us, what wisdom teaches us here, is that two are better than one. Two people together can watch one another's back and protect one another from dangers. Two people together can help one another when help is needed. Two people can typically accomplish more than just one person can accomplish all alone. And so my question this morning is kind of a no-brainer, but are you aware of your need for other people in your life? And obviously this COVID-19 pandemic has really revealed to all of us, as we have socially distanced ourselves and we've stopped meeting as a church for the last couple weeks, that we are probably really, really aware that we need one another. And in God's kindness, what he's done is he's given us one another. We might not be able to meet with one another, but in reality, we have been joined together through faith in Jesus Christ. And so you may feel alone, but what I want you to know this morning is that you are not alone. You have partners in the gospel that are in their homes this morning, praying, reading God's word, waiting on the Lord to allow for us to gather together, but you are not alone. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter because he was aware of our need to be reminded of our partnership. He was aware personally that God had not called him to live out his life alone either. And so he wrote this letter to encourage the believers in Philippi in their partnership in the gospel. And so I hope you're encouraged this morning. And what we're going to learn specifically from this text is that we're not alone. We are partners with one another in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might need to say that to yourself as you're sitting on your couch or in your chair. Just go ahead and say that out loud. Just say, we are not alone. Or say, I am not alone. I have partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so sometimes it's good just to say those things out loud. We probably wouldn't say that at church on Sunday because there's so many people gathering, but you can say that in the privacy of your home. So just go ahead and say that. Say, I am not alone. I have partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at that truth, specifically taking a look at two responses to this truth that we are not alone, that we have partners in the gospel. And the first response that we see is that we should be thanking God for our partnership in the gospel. Real quick, not in my notes, but just how many times have you thanked God for the people that God has called you to live out your life with in the context of Sovereign Grace Church? It's moments like this where we realize we have real partners, we have real friendships because Christ died for these things, and our response should be one of thankfulness, one of just expressing our gratefulness to God that we have real friends through faith in Jesus that we get to live out our lives together with. So the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to the local church in Philippi from jail. He had dozens of reasons to complain about his circumstances, but instead of complaining, we find him here overwhelmingly filled with gratitude and thankfulness and having joy for the brothers and sisters around the world who are partnering with him in the gospel. Look at verse 3. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. These words don't sound like they should be coming from a man who is suffering behind bars and stripped of his freedom as he awaits to hear if he's going to be released or killed. What we see here, though, is a man whose joy is not restricted to his circumstances. Paul's joy is actually found outside of his circumstances and in the grace of God at work in the Philippians. Imagine with me, if you can, imagine Paul alone in chains in a dark room on his knees with his head bowed and his eyes shut, crying out to God in prayer with shouts of joy as he continually thanks God for the Philippians. Every time he thinks about the Philippians, every time he thinks about the church, he's moved to thank God for them. And every prayer of his, as he thinks of the Philippians, his heart begins to be filled with joy and gratitude, and he expresses it by thanking God for them and their partnership. And so the question is, why? Why does Paul receive so much joy from this church? Why does Paul feel the need to thank God in all of his prayers every time he remembers these people? Well, in verse 5, he tells us why. Philippians 1:5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. But Paul thanks God for the Philippians because they are his fellow partners in the gospel. They're his friends. They've been united together through faith in Jesus Christ. They're not his employees. They're not just his ministry leaders. They're not just some informal relationship. This is a real relationship that was created by the blood of Jesus, and he sees it, and he feels it, and he knows it. And so when he thinks of them, he understands Christ died for these relationships. And so when he thinks about these people and he thinks about the grace of God at work in their lives, he's overwhelmed with gratitude. See, this church, it's made up of men and women and children, just like us, who have been saved by the grace of God through their faith in Jesus Christ alone. Just like our church, these men, women, and children, they've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And for that, Paul is grateful to God for. Walter Hansen, in his commentary, wrote the following in regards to this partnership. He said, those who share in the benefits of the gospel participate in a friendship so deep that it may also be viewed as a family relationship. Hence, Paul refers to his friends 9 times as brothers and sisters. So this partnership that Paul and the Philippians have with one another, it's like family. It's not just out there sort of kind of connecting with one another. No, they've been so united together through faith that they're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippians had been actively participating with Paul in his mission to spread the gospel as well. So as family members, as partners in the gospel, they were on mission with Paul, and Paul recognized that, and for that he was filled with gratitude to God. I think it's important for us to kind of just pause here for a moment and just take a look at what this partnership in the gospel really looked like for the Philippians, because it should inform our partnership in the gospel with one another as well. The Philippians gave themselves to constant prayer for Paul. We learn that in chapter 1, verse 19. So their partnership included praying for one another. Verses 27 through 30 of chapter 1, we learn that they themselves suffered for their faith in Jesus as they sought to proclaim Jesus in Philippi. And so they were on mission together with Paul. Chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, we learn that they sent one of their own, Epaphroditus, to care for Paul while he was in prison. And so they didn't just keep to themselves. When they saw their brother Paul in prison, suffering for the sake of the gospel, what they did is they sent some relief to him. They sent Epaphroditus to him because they were committed to this relationship with one another. Chapter 4, verses 10 through 18, we also learn that they gave financial support to Paul so that he could give himself wholeheartedly to the advance of the gospel. And so he didn't suffer alone. Their partnership was defined by them praying for Paul, them committed to being on mission with Paul, seeking to proclaim the gospel, them sending one of their own to care for Paul, and then them sending financial resources to Paul so that he would be freed up as he's in prison to continue the work that God had called him to do, so that he wouldn't be wondering, what am I going to do to provide for myself as I sit in prison and await this judgment of being released or being killed? And so their partnership was robust. It wasn't just them socially distancing themselves from one another, never talking to one another until they can finally come back together. No, they pursued one another. They took steps to actually care for one another in intentional ways. What we learn here from the Philippians is that our partnership in the gospel is more than just believing in Jesus Christ together. It also includes our active pursuit of proclaiming Jesus together by using all of our resources, as well as actually caring for one another in intentional ways that meets the needs of one another at the present time. And so this means that we pray for one another. I mean, we can't gather together right now, but what we can do is we can pray for one another. What my family and I have been experiencing is we've had a lot of time together at home at night now, without me coaching, without my boys playing sports, without Mia having to go off to a job, without Sarah needing to go meet with somebody or do something. We're home. And so we find ourselves doing more so during this season is having opportunity to read the Bible together and pray for people in our church. And so let us take advantage of this season, this trial that we have where we're restricted to our homes more than we would like to be, and let us partner in the gospel by praying for one another intentionally by name. This partnership also means that we work together right here in our community to proclaim the gospel. And so there's opportunities that abound. We can't do this together, but there's still a mission. Christ Jesus is still on his throne. He hasn't come back yet. And so until he comes back, we are called to be partners in the gospel and to go and proclaim the gospel to the people around us. And so there's just going to be opportunities. Pray for more opportunities to proclaim the gospel to your neighbors. To proclaim the gospel to people you might run into at the grocery store who are working really hard, or to those of us that work in the medical field and you're working with other nurses and doctors and people, and you're seeing people come in and they're scared and they're fearful. Well, God has equipped you with the good news of Jesus Christ that brings peace to people. And so I just want to encourage you to think about that as you're out working. Look for opportunities to share the hope of Jesus with the people around us, because our world needs a lot of hope right now. People need a lot of peace right now. Our partnership in the gospel also means that we are willing to financially support our local mission. We're willing to care for those in need. And so I just want to encourage you, as a church, there are opportunities all around us to be generous. There are people who have lost their job or who are about to lose their job. There are businesses that are going to be going out of business because of this. And we have an opportunity as a local church to be generous and to see needs and to give to meet those needs at times. And so you are going to be aware of those personally in your neighborhoods and the communities that you're around. But let us just think about our partnership in the gospel. It means together we have an opportunity to support the gospel going forth. And so we want to give to the local church. We want to give to the Snyders as they serve the Lord over in Thailand. We want to give to other ministries, but we also want to be generous to make sure that we're giving towards one another as there's needs, as well as giving to the needs of those in the community as those come up. And so I want to encourage you to take time as you are social distancing yourself to really think about your giving, to evaluate what does your giving reveal about your heart? Does it reveal a love for Jesus? Does it reveal a passion to see the gospel go forth? Or does it reveal something else? And I want to challenge us as a church. This is a season for us to see needs and meet needs. This is a challenge for us as a church to trust the Lord by continuing to bring in our offerings, trusting that he's the God of all creation, that he has the power to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing until there is not another need. And so I believe he'll do that. His word teaches us to trust him through our faithful giving. And so let us partner in the gospel and let us give generously to those in need. See, our gospel partnership is about believing in Jesus and proclaiming Jesus together as a church. And that proclaiming looks like us telling people about Jesus, and it looks like us picking up our crosses and living out the good news of Jesus Christ to the world around us. And don't you love that we get to do this together? I love that we get to do this together. I long for the day when we get to be together and sing about this and celebrate it through communion, but that day is not today. And so until that day comes, let us be praying for that day. Let us be looking with anticipation for the next time that we get to gather together. But let me remind you is we're not alone. You are not alone. You have partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're praying for one another. We're seeking to live out this faith together the best we can as we are social distancing ourselves with one another. And let us thank God for this. Let us thank God for these partnerships and these opportunities that we have. Let us spend time not just praying for one another, but thanking God for one another. In verse 6, we see that Paul's joy is ultimately rooted in his confidence in the grace of God at work in the church. Verse 6 says this, "And I am sure of this." He has confidence in this, "that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Our partnership in the gospel, it begins with God, it is sustained by God, and it will ultimately be brought to completion by God. I don't know about you, but I like a partnership that has this type of guarantee attached to it. What God has started in us, he will ultimately bring to completion. God began a good work in our church in 1997, and he is continuing this good work at this present time. And what we learn from this passage is that he will ultimately bring it to his completion for his good purposes until the day that Jesus finally returns and we get to spend eternity with him forever. Every single day, we are moving closer to this final day. And every single day, including this day, including these present circumstances of trial as we find ourselves having to stay at home, having to be separated from one another, we can have this confidence that God is at work in us, that Jesus Christ is doing a good work in us, and that he will bring it to completion. And we can also have this confidence that this trial that we're walking through at this moment is part of his good purposes for our lives as he seeks to bring us to that final day. He's not caught by surprise by the COVID-19 virus. He's not caught by surprise that our church can't actually meet with one another. No, he's aware of it. He's actually the one who's ruling and reigning over all things. He's the one that we learn from his word that teaches us that is at work in all things for the good of those that love him. And so we have to believe that. I believe that. But we have to believe that as a church, that the work that he began, he will bring to completion. And anything that comes in the way of that, in the sense of the final day, it's all under his sovereign reign and rule. And he's going to use that for our good. He's going to use that to ultimately accomplish his good purposes in our lives and in our church. And so I'm going to ask you another question. Is this your confidence this morning? Is your confidence ultimately in God as you walk through this trial, as you might be suffering alone, as you experience some fears and doubts, whether it's about your job or it's about you possibly getting sick, or if this is ever going to end? Are you placing your hope in Jesus Christ, the one who began a good work, the one who is sustaining his good work, and the one who's going to bring it to completion? Is your ultimate hope in him? Are you trusting in him? You see, he's the head of the church. I've been called to be a pastor slash shepherd of this church, but ultimately, Christ is the good shepherd. He's the one who is leading us. He's the one who's guiding us. He knows exactly when we are going to meet again on a Sunday morning. He knows exactly who's going to get sick and who's not going to get sick. And he's going to care for us through all of these things because he's at work in us, finishing what he started. Because he has this final day in view when he's going to get off his throne and he's going to come and he's going to get us. And he's preparing us for that final day when we get to spend eternity with him. And on that day, there's not going to be sin. There's not going to be a trial. There's not going to be no COVID-19 virus. There'll be no pandemics. There'll be no sickness. There's not going to be death. Nobody's going to lose a job. We're not going to have fear of where we're going to find money to provide for what we need. No, we have a good Savior in Jesus Christ who began a good work, who is sustaining this work, and who promises to finish this work. And oh, church, this is reason for us to rejoice. This is reason for us to thank God for this partnership that he has given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. So may we as a church continually thank God for our partnership in the gospel. May we continually thank God for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, taking the full penalty for all of our sins, so that we would be forgiven, brought into this right relationship with God and with one another. So that's our first response. We thank God for our partnership in the gospel. The second response, in light of the partnership in the gospel that we have, is that we should be praying. We pray for our partnership in the gospel. Paul writes this in verse 9, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Earlier we read that Paul gave thanks to God for the Philippians because of their love for him expressed through their partnership with him in the gospel. But now we find Paul praying for them that their love would grow more and more, that it would abound more and more in their lives and in their church, that their love would be expressed in a genuine way for God and for one another. Walter Hansen, again, in his commentary, writes the following. He says, "Paul viewed love not as a static possession, but as a dynamic process. True love is not something you possess. True love constantly grows and increases." So what he's saying is it's more than just a feeling. It's a feeling that is expressed with actions of genuine love for one another. And so Paul thanks God for this partnership, and he prays that the love in which they have as a church wouldn't stay the same, but that it would actually grow for one another. And I think we can learn something from that as a church, because I think you as a church abound in love. You abound in love for God. You abound in love for one another. But as we think about our partnership in the gospel, and we recognize this fact that Jesus is still on his throne, that he hasn't come back and gotten us yet, that we're not in heaven. And so we're not done growing. And so we know he began a work, he sustains a work, and he's going to bring it to completion. And in light of that, that promise and that guarantee of continued growth, we need to respond in such a way that we see Paul responding, by praying for one another. And so as you think about one another, let us genuinely pray for one another, that our love for God, our love for Christ, our love for one another would abound all the more, that we would grow in our affection for one another, we would grow in our sacrifices for one another. And so love looks like something, and it takes intentionality to think through, what does my love for the church look like right now when we can't meet? And so it might look like praying for one another. It might look like getting in your car and driving by and waving at somebody who hasn't seen another face in a while. It might look like jumping on a Zoom community group meeting just to gather together. It might look like sending a text or sending an email or FaceTiming, or it might look like giving generously to a brother or sister in need. It can look like a ton of different things. It just can't look like us hugging one another right now or worshiping together. And so it's going to take some intentionality, but may we as a church pray for one another, that our love for one another would abound more and more, that our love would actually look like something. And so church, I'm going to close there for the sake of time this morning, but I want to just encourage us as a church, that the work that Christ began in us, he is sustaining. You may feel alone. You're not alone. You have a Savior who is at work in you. You have partners in the gospel through Sovereign Grace Church who are actively loving you by praying for you, by jumping on calls, by looking for ways to be generous, and all these sorts of different ways. But you're not alone in the gospel. You're not alone as you suffer through this trial. We have a Savior who's at work, and a Savior who promises to bring this to completion. And so as we think about our partnership in the gospel, as we spend our time social distancing ourselves from one another, let us respond to this partnership by praising God for it, thanking God for this partnership, and then praying for one another. Praying that our love for one another would abound all the more. And I gotta believe that as we do this privately in our homes, as we wait for the day when we get to genuinely meet with one another again, that this will change the way our Sunday meetings are. If we spend time thanking God for our partnership and praying for one another to grow in love, to grow in the faith, and as we think about one another, as we long to meet with one another, I gotta believe that Sunday when we get to worship together, our worship will be a little bit more passionate. Our love for one another, our fellowship with one another, it's gonna be a little better. And I'm not saying it's bad, because you guys excel in loving one another. You excel in your partnership. I just think, until we wait for Jesus Christ, we learn from Paul, we learn from God's word, that we can grow in our partnership. We can grow in our awareness of it, and we can grow in our thankfulness for it, and we can grow in our prayer that we would just continue to grow in this partnership, that our love would abound all the more. And so church, I just want you to know, on behalf of the leadership team, we are praying for you. We think about you every single day. We long to be together. And so until that day, may the Lord bless you and your family. May he protect you. May he comfort those who are lonely with his Spirit. And may he fill us all with his Spirit and give us wisdom and insight to know how to be the church in the midst of a time when we can't actually gather. So until we can gather, church, may the Lord bless you and may He keep you. God bless.